So there's no way you can hide yourself at all.
And if you try that, you're going to get into trouble.
Does that give you any kind of protection, though? Because you're the guy with the camera. Everyone knows
No, I'm not the guy with the camera. The cameraman's the guy with the camera. I'm standing right beside him.
Jason's running. He has nothing in his hand. He can run fast.
We've never – the networks, when they're in very dangerous places, can quite rightly hire security people. Mm-hmm. But we've never felt the need.
Have you ever had your footage confiscated? Ever have your tapes or your film taken?
No.
That's great.
It's happened. Not to me, but it's happened to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. When that happens, does it just waste like 3 weeks worth of
time?
Well,
yeah. Reporters and producers got smart, and they would ask in the old days for their cans of film. They would give them cans of unexposed film, mm-hmm. and then when they asked for videotapes, we'd give them the videotapes that didn't have images on. But you know what? That's risky too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they see you're trying to play a
game
with them.
Yeah, you know, they can hold you up. You only have to be held up at customs and you miss your flight. And then what? I mean, it's really, really, really difficult to get out of these countries if you don't make that flight out that you're scheduled out on.
And the next one might not come for a week.
And then you've got the penalties to pay and maybe the flight is full. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting to the airport and getting through customs and immigration is the biggest hurdle we have. And once we're through there, then we can only then can we relax.
And did it get worse after 9/11? Was it just did it?
Much worse. Yeah, I mean, there were days when I remember being in Hawaii, and I had a story recorded for a television station in Australia the station I used to work for, mm-hmm. had asked me to do a report on Jerry Spieth, and I did it for them. And we went to the airport, and there were people standing in line to get on the flight to Australia. And I said to some guy, "Would you mind taking this box and taking it to Melbourne? And there'll be somebody at the airport to meet." He says, "No problem." Now, can you imagine that happening today?
today, the police barricade outside would be small compared to what Jason would have had at the airport if he would have given a box away.
There's no way. But that was how casual things were. We used to take videotapes to the airport here and just hand them to the desk. And that's how we shipped stories. And they would just give it to the pilot.
Well, now they leak it on the internet before they would hand it off. Yeah. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about one of my favorite, actually probably my favorite all-time story that you did involving a place called the North Pole.
Yeah.
So let's take a break on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here with Jason Davis of KSTP-TV, talking about some of the many adventures and worldwide travels he's done, and New York, Chisholm, Beirut, Iraq,
Kuwait. The fun places.
The fun places.
New Ulm.
There's one on YouTube right now that you went to, and I can't remember the name of the city, but it was a very old woman that was selling her jam out of her kitchen. And, it was very popular, and she said she turned down buyout offers from other companies to buy it up because she said my recipe will not be diluted or not be compromised. And I think she was 90 years old. This is 30 years ago, so she might not be with us anymore. But
and I don't remember it. But don't give me,
I don't remember either because I'm trying to paraphrase from YouTube.
But that's a very typical story.
That's when I think of the Jason Davis story. Yeah. Those are the stories I love. But this one, Will Steiger. Does that name sound familiar there, Tom? Will Steiger. Okay.
I just can't do it. Nope.
But you're joking, but a lot of young people don't know the name Will Steiger now.
If you were in grade school in the 80s, you know who Will Steiger was because every educator, basically we tracked this trek from to the North Pole. Let's take a listen to this audio from March 1986.
The news continues with the team that covers the Twin Cities and all of Minnesota. This is Eyewitness News at 6.
Good
evening, everyone. I'm Stan Turner, along with Ruth Spencer. Well, part of the Arctic cold came down our way, south to Minnesota today, Ruth.
Mm-hmm. But there was certainly enough chill left in the Arctic for Jason Davis. He's in the Canadian town of Resolute, Northwest Territories. That's 2,400 miles north of the Twin Cities. He's been covering the beginning of Will Steger's assault on the ice off Ward Hunt Island, the start of the 500-mile push to the North Pole.
Yes, and we have some broadcast history to make here tonight.
Yes.
We now have Jason live via exclusive satellite from Resolute. That's farther north than any previous live satellite in broadcast history. Jason, give us a little sampling, if you can, of the temperatures you've been enduring there in recent times.
Well, right now, I guess it's about 40 below Celsius. And, you know, the scale changes, so it's probably 45 or something like that below Fahrenheit. But, you know, there's no wind, Stan, and when there's no wind, you can almost stand this. But it's been very cold here. It was 50 below last night with 35-mile-an-hour winds. That was vicious. You know, travel here is really something. Travel in the summer in the Arctic here is difficult. There are no roads. In the winter, it's almost impossible. The Steger people are traveling to the North Pole by dog sled, but they're spending $60,000 in chartered aircraft just to get to the start.
They are the workhorses of the Arctic, reliable go-anywhere aircraft called Twin Otters. Over the past few days, they've been shuttling the Steger Polar Expedition from weather station Eureka to the ice of the Polar Sea. Tons of food and equipment and 50 dogs. Loaded and unloaded several times before the final destination near Ward Hunt Island, the most northern piece of land in Canada. Yesterday, we were there when the advance party of six began to carve a path through the broken sea ice. This huge field of rubble is the first major barrier on the way to the pole. The task is to get five sleds loaded with at least 1,000 pounds each across this nightmare. Canadian Brent Bodie, spurning synthetic materials, wears a full suit of caribou skin to beat the cold. It's his dogs that have the doubtful honor of breaking trail.
You recall that day?
That's a day I'll never forget. It was so cold.
We're going to show some video of that on tcmedianow.com, but I'm looking at the video, and you are in it's pure white. There's this kind of dark figure in the middle there with a microphone, and there you are, and I think your face is a little blue at that point.
Oh, yeah. It was very difficult circumstances because, as you heard, nobody had ever done a TV shot from that far north before. Mm-hmm. And it was done with the help of the local telephone company. Mm-hmm. And what they did, they got their dish, which was used for telephone communications, and lowered it down to get the satellite that we were using at KSTP. That satellite was over the equator. Mm-hmm. The dish was looking at the horizon so far north. And it was that was the very, very limit. You cannot do a broadcast using satellite technology from any further north than that, mm-hmm. because the curvature of the Earth. Not only that, the where we did the live broadcast from was at their little shed in a field where the dish was. And we had to connect directly with bits of wire and mm-hmm. twist them together to connect up to the transmitter that would send our signal down. Our communications with KSTP were with a telephone. Literally a telephone, a little Bakelite phone with a spin dial. You remember those?
Yes.
Well, we didn't realize that would freeze solid, which it did, and it created all kinds of terrible problems of communication so that I could hear them. Mm-hmm. They could hear me, but I couldn't hear them. So it was quite an adventure.
Let's play some more audio. This is a couple days after that first audio. Let's more of Jason on the road.
Imagine what it must be like living in sub-zero temperatures, battling the ice and the snow for 2 months, trying to reach the North Pole and being within about 20 miles of the North Pole. That is exactly the situation now for the Will Steger expedition as six brave men and a woman push on towards the top of the world. Jason Davis is live with us right now from Resolute in the Northwest Territories to bring us up to date on the status of the team.
There
Jason.
Is.
Ah, good evening. They indeed were slowed down, much to our surprise. We did expect them to be there by today, but they slowed down. We can only expect that it was cloud cover that hid the sun and prevented them from navigating. They have to have the sun out in order to know which way is north. Meantime, here in Resolute, another attempt to reach the North Pole begins tomorrow. Two intrepid Frenchmen are going to leave here in Resolute for the North Pole in magnificent flying machines.
The large French contingent arrived in Resolute nearly a week ago. Two of them are pilots and will attempt to fly their 400-pound ultralight aircraft 1,000 miles from here to the North Pole. 32-year-old Nicolas Hulot is a broadcast journalist, and 37-year-old Hubert de Chavigny actually flies these flimsy aircraft for a living. Hubert de Chavigny says the low temperatures won't worry them, but the weather will.
For the cold, I think everything is okay. We test a lot of things in the very cold rooms before to leave France. But effectively, the wind is a danger for us. And the whiteout, you know, the fog, because we fly with the sun. We have no magnetic compass, so we fly with the sun, and we need to have a clear sky.
The intrepid Frenchman.
Well, yeah, in those days, the North Pole was a magnet for people that wanted to get there in some different fashion. I mean, Will Steger's expedition was to get there with a dog sled team, unsupported. Mm-hmm. And that was the important word, unsupported. And he was the first to do that since Peary was supposed to have done it back in the 20s. Mm-hmm. But in 1919, I think it was. But there were other people up there trying to get there by hot air balloon. I mean, they've just tried everything. People would ski or walk or ride a bicycle. None of these people were successful.
Well, it becomes showy. I mean, that's being showy when you're trying to just do, you know, a skateboard to the North Pole or a rollerblade in the North Pole.
I guess they were just trying to make a name for themselves. I don't know.
Yeah. But
we met quite a few of them.
But Will's an amazing guy. He came and spoke at my school, I think, in two separate occasions in my public school career. And I'm assuming you still keep in touch with Will.
Oh, yeah. Will and I still keep in touch, but not on a daily basis. But we're aware of each other's existence.
And what's he up to now?
Well, as Will is now has a foundation that deals with the dangers of global warming, mm-hmm. in general. Specifically, I think it's also about energy conservation and all kinds of things like that. He's deeply involved in that.
So was that the coldest on the road you ever did?
That was the coldest. We had some pretty cold times covering the John Bagri sled dog race in northern Minnesota.
Oh, that's right.
And I must correct myself from in that report. I said it was 40 degrees Celsius. Well, as it happens, the scale is 40 degrees Celsius below and 40 degrees Fahrenheit below are exactly the same. That's the only point on the scale where they meet.
Because I thought it might be like 80 below.
No, 40 degrees Celsius is 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's where you were going with it, too.
and I have to admit, Jason, in all due respect, you looked a little cold there. I think that, and I was watching the video.
I was cold.
I was watching the video. Watching the video, and there were, I mean, the frostbite that guys were getting on this trip, and some of the physical effects of being in the cold. That was, and not to be punny, that was very chilling to see that.
I had to do a commentary to camera at one point when they set off, at the point they set off, and it was 65 degrees below zero there at some point while we were there. And I had to wear a complete face mask on camera, which looks absolutely absurd. But there was no way you could have exposed skin under those conditions.
Well, I'm very curious because, like, just trying to talk in Minnesota when it's negative 20 degrees
outside,
your face
freezes. Your face freezes, sure.
So how did you give that kind of, you know, well-enunciated speech?
I don't know. I was a lot younger.
I'm just happy that the
my blood supply was a lot stronger.
The image consultants had come to you and said, "Jason, you got to take off the hat. We need to show some.
Oh,
we need to show your hair. We need to show."
I think Stan knew that wasn't a practical thing to do.
We've Tom and I have interviewed a couple ladies in here who said that they were told not to wear hats in the winter because it wasn't good for ratings. Wasn't good to not show that blonde. Blonde,
right.
Flowing hair.
I know we're running out of time, but we had another wonderful experience with the whales trapped in the ice up in Barrow, Alaska. And we covered that one from the Twin Cities. Here's a long story why we did that and a legitimate reason for us to be there. And I saw the movie called The Big Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm in that movie. If you stay right through the credits, you'll see me at the end
of the
credits.
You're at the end of the credits?
I'm in the movie, yeah.
Whoa!
Which is really a great thrill for my kids. my family and my grandchildren, because I took them all to see it and didn't tell them, and there I was.
So Jason Davis is in what's the movie title again? What's the movie title?
Big Miracle.
A big miracle.
The Big Miracle. Check
now,
it
was
out.
Was that old footage or was that like you?
No, it was old footage.
I was wondering if they
doing
just brought you in for it.
Up where the whales were. They used a lot of our video to base their movie on.
I hope. I hope they got some residuals from.
No.
That. Okay.
Unfortunately, not. Maybe KSTP did, but I didn't see a penny of it.
In fact, we were having this conversation a while ago about using footage for without residuals. TCMedianow.com might come to mind.
I can't sell the video. That belongs to Stanley Hubbard.
No. So I've told you about my favorite stories. What is your favorite story in 37 years of doing this job? What's the one? I'm sure you have three or four, but what's one you, if you could do it all over again?
Everybody asks me that question, and with the thousands and thousands of stories, it's very difficult to give you a straight answer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not evading the question.
No.
But we've covered some of the most important and exciting things that we've ever done. Jerry Spiess arriving in Falmouth, you know, after going across the Atlantic in a 10-foot boat, flying to the North Pole, getting off the plane and embracing Will Steger and the rest of the team, and then coming back with them to Minnesota, to St. Paul with the reception. I mean, it's just been wonderful experiences.
But the great thing is you can go to North Pole and then you can go to the Sportsman's Cafe in Mora.
And I have just as good a time. And I enjoy very much. We do stories all the time. We just finished a story just the day before yesterday. About two young guys from Minnesota who actually portaged a canoe from Minneapolis to Eveleth, Minnesota.
I saw that. That was a great story.
Well, you haven't seen it.
I've read about it.
We were the only ones there when they got there. That's a wonderful story. They raised money for the camp that they work at. YMC camp in Eveleth. And it was just a terrific story for me. I just loved it.
You love people and you love stories, and that's the best.
It's all about people.
So I was curious, since you said you can't pick a favorite, let's go the polar opposite. What is the worst story
No, he won't say that, but I will ask him, what is the oddest one you've ever done? What is the one where you thought, this is really different?
You caught me here. they are just so peculiar, some of them. But it's the people. Mm-hmm. They're just strange, you know. And they do. I did a story about a guy in Iowa years ago, 30 years ago, who changed his name to Welcome Pleasure Freely. He was in the phone book. I mean, that – I was a wonderful – he was – a little quirky, as you might can imagine. That kind of thing just sets me on fire. I just love stories like that. I did a story about a man that was walking backwards forever. I mean, that's the way he walked. It was up on the reservation in northern Minnesota. Visually, they're so compelling.
Well, I'm guessing sometimes when you see one of these, you read about it, like, this person's going to be really odd. And I'm guessing sometimes they are odd. And other times you probably are surprised that they were more like you or more mainstream than you thought they were.
They're not mentally ill.
No, I didn't say mentally ill.
They're just, what was the word we used?
Quirky, maybe.
Quirky.
Everyone's building quirky.
I like the word eccentric.
There you go.
Eccentrics are revered in Europe, but here eccentric kind of means a little wacky.
You have to be eccentric to be in broadcasting, don't you think?
Probably.
Oh, yeah. I just want you to know, you also planted the seed. He's going to be changing his name here shortly.
What's the name? Carefree Pleasure?
Welcome Pleasure Freely.
Well, if there isn't one, you know, I'm looking for a stage name. Well, it's great. And so you have some new stories coming up this year.
Yes, we do.
So on the road, there is new episodes occasionally.
There are new episodes occasionally, and we got in July we'll have two or three. They are compilation programs. By and large, one of them will be new, which will be the story about the folk in St. Lucia working to bring the IQ of the country up, working with the children. It's quite compelling. It's a beautiful country. It's not a country that a lot of people know a lot about. Mm-hmm. And it's such a small island. We were able to see all of it. And we shot a lot of visual content for that.
That's great.
So it's a great escape story, too. And also has this compelling story about trying to educate the kids and make life better for them there.
That's great. Next week on the show, we're going to announce the Pavick Museum Broadcast Hall of Fame new inductees for 2013. You, sir, were inducted in 2008. I was at the ceremony. You had a great speech, talked about you had no idea about this revolving door KSDP because your door's never revolved since you got there in 1976. No. It was a great speech and a great night.
I don't know what they're talking about.
And tell me a little bit about that. That must have been a great night for you and the family to be able to induct into.
It was. My family were there, at least as many as could be there. It was quite an honor. It's nice to be recognized, especially as I came up sort of the hard way. I didn't come through college and journalism school and worked my way up that way. I came in through the back door. And to be recognized by people who are highly educated and the best in the business, I was thrilled to bits.
It's a great group of people, and it's a great roster of that Hall of Fame. And I've seen the list, and so it's going to be some good inductees, which we're actually going to have on the show. Jason, thank you for coming up today. I love talking about these stories and love hearing that old audio, and especially that Will Steger trip to the North Pole. That was a great part of when I was in grade school, just following that trek up the North Pole and hoping everyone made it there back and alive. And one of the best videos, which we will show, is everyone at the airport when the governor's there and Stan Turner's there and you guys all come and...
Yeah,
back to the cold of Minnesota. This is Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond. We'll be back next week with Pat Miles, formerly of Channel 4 and Channel 11. So, till then, so long.